Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into a very special Valentine's Day edition of the Locked On Patriots podcast. That's right. Look, it's Valentine's Day, okay? So if you haven't taken care of Valentine's Day, hit pause, go fix that, and then come back and listen to the pod, okay? You gotta handle your business, gentlemen. Other than that, though, if you're ready to roll, let's hop into it. This is Mark Schofield here in the big chair. What we're going to do today, we're going to be talking to wide receivers and tight ends, and we got a fantastic guest on the show to do that with. But before we do, a reminder to follow me on Twitter, at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites, as I've said. If there's an outlet covering football, chances are I'm doing some work for them. But here to help us today is somebody that was a listener request, had a lot of love for this man in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. He's a contributor over at The Draft Network. He also runs a Twitter account you have to be following if you're listening to the show. That is at Patriots Film. Does some great breakdowns of the Pats over there, some nerdy football stuff that you all must love if you're listening to this show. Also, he's a wide receivers coach at Salve Regina, so you know he knows his stuff. If you follow him on Twitter, you know he knows his stuff. He is Brad Kelly, who you can follow on Twitter at BradKelly17. Brad, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, buddy, and excited to talk to you. And as I said, look, you were a listener request. A lot of love getting thrown your way in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. So we're going to start with some questions from those listeners. But before we do that, let's sort of set the table here. And I mentioned, look, you're a wide receivers coach. When you're studying guys on tape, what sort of traits, what qualifications are you valuing generally when looking at wide receivers and tight ends?
Well, it's no secret. I mean, you look at my work that I did last year with the NFL draft class of receivers, and I'm a fan of route runners. You know, last year, I was a huge fan of Dante Pettis, Deshaun Hamilton, Calvin Ridley, to the point where I'm essentially now associated with Dante Pettis and Deshaun Hamilton on Twitter. If something happens between those two guys, I'm getting notifications right. Just blown up because, you know, that type of route running, that explosive route running and their crisp breaks and their nuance was something that I was very drawn to. And so that's why I was so high on them. And that's usually the number one thing I'll look at is, can they separate? How often and consistent is that separation?
Now, you know, we're going to sort of, since this is a Pats show, we're going to kind of tailor it to the Pats. And, you know, one of the first questions for our listeners, Andy Likens via the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. What traits or qualifications are you looking for when it comes to Pats prospects? Is it still the same? Do you think that the Patriots sort of value route runner than so that meshes well with how you're looking at these guys?
Well, when it comes to the Patriots, I think the number one thing in their receivers is the change of direction. And that usually amounts to their short shuttle. Julian Edelman's obviously famous. Deion Branch, I think, is famous for how fast their short shuttle was. Both of those guys were sub 4 seconds in that. And I think really it comes down to their change of direction. They have a lot of change of direction routes, short routes, whip return routes, that type of stuff that they use with Edelman, that they used to use with Welker, that they use with Amendola and all those guys in the slot. I think that's what they usually look for when it comes to scouting receivers.
And another question for the Locked On Patriots Slack show comes to us from John Lamaracus, a great listener to the show, friend of the show. And he wants to know, in addition to sort of the parameters we just talked about, the short shuttle and stuff, are there any size parameters that you're looking at when it comes to Pats prospects? Or is it basically, look, we care more about the traits, the short area quickness, forget size, we'll put that out the window?
I think the Patriots don't really look at size or size parameters or anything like that. You look at a guy they drafted last year, I think it was the sixth round, in Braxton Berrios, and he was small, light, and he had like 28-inch arms, which I believe was the shortest ever measured for receivers at the combine. But then you look at a few years ago, they drafted a guy like Aaron Dobson, 6'3", tall, long, over 200 pounds. So I think realistically, it's everything in between. They'll tailor their offense and their scheme around who they have in-house rather than trying to fit players from the draft into their system.
Now, I know it's Valentine's Day. We're still getting into the process here. Haven't even had the combine, so I'm not going to hold you to a top five or anything like that. But just generally speaking, who are some of your favorite wide receivers in this class so far?
Well, I think the top wide receiver in the class is DK Metcalf from Ole Miss. I just actually put out a scouting report and a Twitter thread on him. Just a size, speed, athleticism freak. But there's also a lot to his game that I like more than just his raw athletic traits. You look at how he beats press coverage, the violence he plays with, the physicality that he plays with at the top of the route. He's a plus blocker. I scouted 7 games of his. He only had 2 drops, so I think he has good hands too, good ball skills. Just a red zone threat right now. I think the rest of his game will come around as far as finishing out his route tree and that type of thing. But I think you know, as a rookie, maybe he won't be the most productive, but his ceiling is that of the premier wide receiver in the NFL. So for me, I'm not going to pass up on that. He's the top receiver in the class.
Now, obviously, you can't bring up his name right now without asking this follow-up question. Are you worried about the size and frame that we just saw in a picture of him on Instagram, where it looks like he's yoked up beyond belief? Are you worried about that at all?
I am not worried about that. In fact, I think it's a positive. He's training at Exos Training Facility in Florida, which is regarded as the best or second best training facility in the country, them and Michael Johnson Performance in Texas. They're not going to have him bulk up at the expense of his flexibility and his mobility. I mean, it's just pointless to do. So to me, it's saying that he's on either keeping that flexibility he has, or it's improving and he's just getting massively big. It's a guy who benched 100 pounds on his seventh birthday. I mean, he was going to be big and huge eventually regardless. But I think his athleticism is just too high. And you add in that the fact that he's built like Thor and right. You get just a special prospect.
Turning the attention maybe to the Pats, because a player like that might not be in their range when they're picking a 32. Maybe we'll see. Who are some wide receivers in this class that you'd like for New England specifically?
Well, I think the guy that I'm looking for the Patriots to take more towards the middle rounds is Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. Mm. The Belichick trust tree is renowned, and Urban Meyer has been in it for a very long time. Now that they have Greg Schiano's defensive coordinator, he coached at Ohio State the last couple of years where McLaurin was playing. So there's a lot of connections there, but he's also just seems like a Patriots player, special teams demon. I mean, you look at some of the plays he had as a gunner on the punt team, and it's Matthew Slater-esque. And there's a guy who's also a good route runner, very fast, and he's supposed to have one of the fastest shuttles on Ohio State's team. So it's a guy who I think fits their mold, good route runner, you know, decent size, but not great. But it's also a guy that I think that will be available at the end of the second round or maybe sometime in the third if they're looking to move up. So he's a guy in the mid rounds that I think the Patriots are going to target, and I would not be surprised if he's on the roster come next season.
Now, Brad, you were down there in Mobile and you got to see him up close and personal. What stood out to you about him? Because, you know, I knew next to nothing about him other than watching him when I was studying Haskins before we got down to Mobile. But he jumped out during that week. Did you have the same sort of reaction with him?
He absolutely did. I think he exceeded expectations as much as any receiver there. Maybe just him and Penny Hart would be the top two in that. What jumped out to me is he just abuses press coverage. And I think that realistically comes from being a gunner on punt team, because they're doing, you know, special teams drills and there's two guys on him and none of them can touch him. So he's just running around these guys, but there's also that nuance in his hesitations and how he's resetting the line of scrimmage and all that type of stuff. So it's a guy who you can't really press, and he's not a big, huge guy like Metcalf. So he's not like overpowering people with strength. It's just in that footwork and in his agility, and that translates to his route running as well. And that's just a guy who I think is going to just separate in the league for the next 10 years.
You mentioned Penny Hart. I did want to bring him up for a second. Are you surprised he didn't get a combine invite?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was in the Senior Bowl, and he was really tearing it up all week. I mean, I thought he had an excellent week. I definitely think that he was one of the better receivers there, and that's even guys who were from Power 5 schools, you know, the superior body type and athleticism and everything. But I thought Penny Hart was excellent. I was shocked that he didn't get a Senior Bowl invite. I was thinking he was like an early day three player, which would put him in the 100s, and they chose 300 and plus other players to invite. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get that either. We're chatting here with Brad Kelly. We're going to hit a pause button for a second. I'll let you hear from our great sponsors. We'll be right back. Talk some tight ends here on Locked On Patriots. That's right, Locked On Patriots listeners. It is Valentine's Day. It's not the fourth quarter. It's like 2 minute drill time. And if you haven't taken care of your Valentine's Day gift needs, then you need to be Tom Brady. You need to be huge in the clutch right now. And you need to go to enclosed.com. How about something romantic, something that celebrates that unique connection between you and your loved one? I'm talking about a luxury gift service called Enclosed that delivers designer lingerie to your lady month after month. Enclosed is like a flower of the month or a beer of the month, but instead of flowers, she gets surprised with ultra high-end lingerie, and this is seriously high-end stuff, the kind of quality that will really impress her. Enclosed was designed specifically to help guys find gifts for their wives. Enclosed is all about helping you make her happy. And seeing as it is Valentine's Day and you need to sort of get on the ball if you haven't already, the fact that it's effortless for you makes a huge deal. you could still come through here in the clutch. Every month, Enclosed sends your wife or girlfriend a custom curated lingerie gift selected just for your lady. And they back the gift up with a 100% size guarantee, so you never have to worry about fit. You can join more than 30,000 couples that love Enclosed. And I'll give you a little gift. Right now, you can get $35 off your Enclosed gift. Just go to enclosedlingerie.com, enter the code PATRIOTS at checkout to get $35 off any Enclosed multi-month gift. It's the fourth quarter. It's clutch time. Be Tom Brady. Step up in the pocket and make the play. Go to enclosedlingerie.com. Use that code PATRIOTS for $35 off the best gift ever. Mark Schofield, Brad Kelly back with you on this Valentine's Day installment of Locked On Patriots. Again, you just heard from our great sponsors over at enclosedlingerie.com. Look, if you've whiffed on Valentine's Day, if you've dropped the ball, there is still time. Just visit our friends over at enclosedlingerie.com. Use that promo code PATRIOTS when you do. Brad, shifting gears to tight end a bit, start with some listener questions. Calvin S. via the Locked On Patriots Slack channel wants to know, he says, this seems like a very strong tight end class. How does this year's tight end class stack up against previous classes?
Well, the 2017 class was a special one. You look at guys like O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, and David Njoku. And that class was really an elite one. And I don't think this one's quite on that level, but it's close. I think this tight end class is excellent. I think it's deep. It's talented at the top. I view T.J. Hockenson from Iowa as the best, and actually Noah Fant as the second best. And I think both of those guys will be drafted in round one, and Irv Smith from Alabama will flirt with the round one selection as well. So I think it's a good tight end class. Maybe not quite 2017, but definitely better than 2018's, where it was guys like Gesicki and Dallas Goedert and all those guys. So I think it's a very good tight end class, just not quite 2017.
You know, you mentioned there Irv Smith, and that's going to lead us to our next question from John Limorakis again. How much of an upgrade would Smith be over New England's options that aren't named Rob Gronkowski?
A absolutely massive upgrade. You know, Dwayne Allen has offered next to nothing in the past game since he got to New England. Jacob Hollister looks really good in the preseason every year, but past that, I don't see much happening in the regular season. I think Irv Smith is going to be a starter in this league for a long time, a plus starter at that. He's young, he's athletic. You know, he has great run after the catch ability. He wasn't exactly able to show everything at Alabama because they had such a talented receiver core, but that's a guy who's going to be a good player in the NFL, and he would be a massive upgrade over guys like Dwayne Allen.
You know, you mentioned the Iowa guys, Hawk and Fant, and what is it that jumps out with those guys? Because I think they're, from my watching, two different players, but they both are excellent at what they do. Is that kind of the story with them?
Yeah, definitely. I think Noah Fant is the superior receiver at the tight end position, and he has, you know, those Metcalf-esque traits and just his size and his speed and his athleticism, and he's fluid, strong, and he's not a bad blocker. I actually think he's a pretty decent blocker. His effort's there, his technique's there. He can get a little heavier in the lower half, and I think that'll help him. But T.J. Hockenson is a guy who's probably the opposite of that. He's an excellent blocker. He's a mean dude. He blocks like George Kittle did when he was at Iowa, and then he offers good, not great traits as a tight end receiver. You know, you see him in the red zone flashing from time to time. He actually does remind me a lot of Kittle in that regard, who was a little bit underutilized as a receiver in college, but one that I think will be a really, really good NFL player, just a really well-rounded guy in T.J. Hockenson.
Do you think this might be a case, Brad, where like Hockenson might go off the board first because he gives you that blocking, but Fant might have the better career because, especially if he goes to the right team, like say New England that knows how to use him, he might be, you know, in the perfect spot to sort of develop?
I think that's a fair thing to suggest. I think Noah Fant is going to put up the better receiving numbers probably throughout his career, but I would never discount the effect that run blocking and pass blocking has on the game of football, and T.J. Hockenson provides both. You look at Rob Gronkowski, he's not the best tight end ever, in my opinion, because just of his receiver traits. I mean, he's a guy who can pass block one-on-one. He can run block one-on-one. I mean, he dominates all aspects of the game. You look at their playoff run, and every time they ran behind James Devlin, they're also running behind Rob Gronkowski, and he's just clearing space and helping the running backs get, you know, break free, and that's what, to me, makes him the most talented tight end ever. And I'm not saying Hockenson is Gronkowski, but he has that well-rounded, all-around game that Gronk does. So even if Fant has his superior receiving numbers, Hawk is going to make his mark.
You know, other than the two Iowa guys, we talked about Irv Smith. Who are some of your other favorite tight ends in this group overall?
Isaac Nada from Georgia, another guy who was underutilized. They had a ton of talent at wide receiver as well, and they're more of a running team. So he had a lot of reps in the run game. He's a nasty blocker. He is ticked off. He's mad. he's trying to displace defensive ends, outside linebackers on a play-to-play basis, and he does a very good job of it. And then he offers athleticism in the pass game. You know, only had three touchdowns. I think only was only in the 300s for yards, but actually only had four incompletions thrown his way. So a really very efficient, consistent receiving option. Never going to be that top tight end in the league or anything, but a guy who I think will be another guy who I think is going to start for a long time and actually, you know, probably could fit in New England as well if we get him at the end of the second.
You know, another guy that was down in Mobile that, you know, maybe didn't turn a ton of heads, but he's catching a little bit of buzz as we got out of the Senior Bowl. Now we're headed to the combine. Dax Raymond at Utah State. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, a freak athlete. Maybe not to the level of Noah Fomp, but probably I would say one step below. And another guy who has a well-rounded game. I was actually watching Darwin Thomas, their running back, and Dax Raymond started just to jump off the screen. So this is another guy. There's a lot of good tight ends in Mobile. I thought even guys like Foster Moreau from LSU had a good week. And there's a lot of, like I said, this class is deep. And Raymond just another one of those guys who could fit for the Patriots. He could fit for a lot of teams because he's very versatile.
You know, when you're thinking about a potential tight end fit, like who sort of best fits New England, do you think? Like in terms of either replacing Gronkowski or pairing with Gronkowski. So maybe it's two different people, but who do you think are the best fits?
Well, I think Nada provides a little bit of both in the sense that he's a different player from Gronkowski, so he could fit with him. But he also has that upside of a guy that could eventually be the top tight end on the Patriots and someone who will likely be available where the Patriots might be targeting a tight end. So I've been touting him, and there's the Kirby Smart connection as well. And we took two Georgia Bulldogs in the first round last year. So obviously Belichick is going to be familiar with Nada. He's familiar with the coaching staff down there. It's a coaching staff that he trusts. So he's a guy that I think is going to really be the fit for the Patriots. And hopefully he's there available at the end of the second, but he's also a guy who might be able to sit to the end of the third because of the depth of the tight end class. So that's a guy who I would look for on day two.
When you're looking at tight ends, is it similar to wide receivers where you're looking for route running, or do you need to have some other traits as a tight end that you focus on when you're studying them?
So it's interesting with tight end because I almost never look at production when it comes to them, whereas with some receivers, I will value that in a sense, but not that it's the top thing that I look for, but it's definitely more valued in a receiver. And that's just because tight ends are so underutilized in college, and that's a historic trend. And you look at Jason Witten, and he only had like 33 receptions his final season at Tennessee, and then 2 years later he had like 89 for the Cowboys. So it's not a position that's really utilized in college, and that's just the nature of the spread college offenses. So it's more just the athletic traits, in my opinion. You look at a guy like Dawson Knox, who I haven't mentioned yet, from Ole Miss, and he's just an athletic freak, and he has almost no production, but he has all the traits you could imagine because he's such a superior athlete, and he has the size, and he's shown he can block, and he's shown he can high-point footballs, but somehow he had no touchdowns. So it's just more about looking for the athleticism because it's such an underutilized position.
Mark Schofield, Brad Kelly, we're talking wide receivers and tight ends. We're going to take a break for a second. Up next, we're going to talk some more draft-type discussions here, some options for New England maybe on day three, and who Brad would love to see in the red, white, and blue come next season. That's ahead on this Valentine's Day installment of Locked On Patriots. Hey there, Pats fans. I'm excited to talk to you about our great friends over at Loci. You need a little extra swag for game day or the offseason or draft season, or just to flash the fact that, look, you're a Patriots fan and they're, again, Super Bowl champions. Well, Loci has got your back with their brand new Game Day collection. If you haven't heard that name before, well, now you have. This company is amazing. I've been wearing their bracelets for a while now, and they're a bracelet with an amazing message, and it also supports incredible causes. The Loci bracelet comes in Patriots colors and holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. The bracelet is a daily reminder to stay balanced during life's highs and lows. I wasn't a big bracelets guy before. I am now because of their bracelets. They've got an amazing message, and it personally helps keep me focused during both the good and the bad times in life. Since Loci is friends of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all Game Day Collection bracelets. This is the best deal. Just use the promo code PATRIOTS25 when checking out, and boom, you can thank me later. Go to loki.com and use the promo code PATRIOTS25 to take advantage of this amazing offer. Mark Schofield back with you now to close out this Thursday installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. And Brad, we've talked about some of the big names on both wide receiver and tight end. What about some of those day three guys? We know Belichick and company, they like to go sort of day three when it comes to skill players. Well, who are some day three names Patriots fans should keep in mind when it comes to wide receivers and tight ends?
Well, there's no way we're going to get through this podcast without mentioning this name, Hunter Renfrow.
There we go. There we go. Did it happen to you? Because this happened last year with me and Braxton Berrios. But every time, you know, Renfrow makes a play, everybody knows that's around you, knows you're a pass guy. They look right at you, right?
I tweeted a video of Hunter Renfrow at the Senior Bowl, and it went nuts. It has almost a million views on Twitter, and I think every single response mentioned Bill Belichick or the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he just screams during the Patriots. And look, even looking past, you know, the stereotypical like white slot wide receiver, he's just a guy that the Patriots historically value. You know, a slot receiver who has quick breaks, who's a very, very, very nuanced route runner, separation on every single play, scrappy. I don't mean to just use these like generic terms,
right,
but they're all true. And he has the clutch. He has the clutch factor, caught the game winning, you know, reception in the national championship game. He's just a guy, and I think he'll be available on day three as well. So just a guy that I think you look at and say, like, this guy could very well end up in New England.
You know, a similar guy down there in Mobile this year is Andy Isabella, the kid from Massachusetts. Are you as excited about him as some people seem to be, or do you sort of have some reservations?
I have a little bit more reservations about Isabella than others. His lack of length really hurts him, I think, not only down the field because he is more of a body catcher, but also in his route running. And he's super quick, and I understand that he's super quick, but there are a lot of guys who are quick. Penny Hart's quick. Miko Hardman from Georgia is quick. But Isabella actually has a few technique issues at the top of his routes that kind of, you know, give me some pause, whereas guys like Hart really explode through his routes, and Hardman and Marquise Brown, they explode through their routes, and Isabella is quick, but he has some technique issues that I think need to be fixed. Then you're adding the fact that he's more of a downfield threat, but he is a body catcher, and a lot of times the ball will get played at the catch point in the NFL if you try that. So I have a little bit more reservations. I think he is a day three player, but I think he'll probably be gone on day two.
Yeah, and you know, and a similar sense of guy we talked about a little bit earlier, but I do think sort of fits his categories is Penny Hart, who I love down in Mobile. Can you tell us a little bit more about him and what you like about him so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's a versatile player, and we all know the Patriots value versatility, but Hart's a four-down player. He has kick return experience, punt return experience. He played in the slot, played on the outside, he played in the backfield. He took a lot of jet sweeps, called a lot of short passes, called a lot of intermediate, deep passes. So he's just a guy who was utilized in every facet. And even going back to his freshman year, except on the field at Georgia State, he was their most, you know, versatile weapon. He was their most explosive weapon. So they just found different ways to utilize him, get him the ball, do whatever they can to you know, use him as their main guy, and they did that for pretty much his entire career. So he's a guy who has that versatility that the Patriots like, and I think is explosive enough to warrant a third round pick.
What about some more, say, day three guys at the tight end spot? You know, maybe it's Raymond, maybe it's the LSU kid. Who are some names that Pats fans should keep an eye on in that range for tight ends?
I'm a huge fan of Elise Mack from Notre Dame. A guy that came to Notre Dame as a number one ranked tight end prospect in the country, coming from Bishop Gorman in Nevada, and high school All-American, got into some trouble at Notre Dame here or there. Actually, it was suspended for a whole season, got suspended for another game at the end of last year for the bowl game. So a guy who's kind of been in and out of trouble, but you know, this season, allegedly, he's got his act together. He had some academic issues, I believe. So he's got his act together. He's on the up and up. Didn't participate in Mobile. They didn't specify why, but he took himself out of that. But when you look at his film, he's just a superior athlete. I mean, he has that high point ability, very smooth athlete, and it translates into his route running. He could use some work as an inline blocker, but not I wouldn't say he's a bad blocker. A little bit better when he's positioned at that H-back spot. But I think he's a guy who would definitely be available outside of the top 100, but just has the athletic upside. And, you know, I think he'll be a better pro player than college because he was in and out of trouble throughout his Notre Dame career.
Brad, let's get you out of here on this one, and I'll kind of ask you a two-part question. Give me a reasonable sort of name or two at both wide receiver and tight end that Patriots fans could be excited about, and then give me your sort of dream scenario at both positions that, you know, if the Patriots come out with these guys at wide receiver and tight end out of this draft class, you'll just be over the moon, completely overjoyed.
Well, I think some reasonable options, if we're looking at one of the positions, If we're looking at tight end at 32, I think we're looking at Irv Smith. I think Fon, TJ Hockenson will be gone. Irv Smith may still be there. I think he'll go right around that range. And he's a guy who I think definitely warrants a late first round pick just because of that athleticism and that ceiling that he has. And then if we're looking at tight ends at the end of the second, there's a lot of different guys. This class is very, very deep. But maybe a guy like Deebo Samuel is still around. DeMarcus Lodge from Ole Miss, who we haven't mentioned yet, I think is a good route runner, explosive, good size as well. Riley Ridley could be there as well. So those are probably the guys that I think are realistic options. As far as like the dream scenario goes, I mean, I would love to see Metcalf fall, but I don't think he's going to, especially after the combine and the NFL teams are able to see him in person. But I think Kelvin Harmon from NC State is likely a late first-round pick and one that might fall to the Patriots, especially if some NFL teams fall in love with Marquise Brown and take him a little earlier. It could push Harmon down the board. 6'3", 214, very consistent route runner. Reminds me a lot of Miles Austin, the former Cowboys receiver. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at the tight end spot, a little bit later, I would love to see Isaac Nauta get out of Georgia to get to New England. So I would probably say in an ideal world, we're like looking at Kelvin Harmon at the end of round one and Isaac Nauta at the end of round two.
There you go, everybody. You now have some homework assignments, a lot of names that, you know, Brad just threw out there, some great stuff there. So you've got some homework to do yourselves, listeners. Brad, fantastic stuff. Can't thank you enough. Please let everybody know where to find your work and what you've got going on over the Draft Network with all the guys over there.
So the Twitter page is at BradKelly17. Kelly is spelled K-E-L-L-Y. Not that E-Y, you know, those people over there.
There you go.
Just the Y. Writer at the Draft Network, which is thedraftnetwork.com, and Twitter pages at Draft Network LLC. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. But the main thing is the Twitter page, and we are launching two user-friendly programs, Build Your Own Big Board and the Mock Draft Machine. So obviously on the Build Your Own Big Board, you have the option to build your own big board up to 300 players. But on top of that, as you'll be clicking through it, the scout reports from us are embedded into them. So you can read through the reports as you build it. And then the mock draft machine, you can do a 7-round mock draft, up to 7 rounds for one team or two teams, all the way up to 32 teams. So you could do an entire 7-round mock draft if you really want to. I will never do that. That takes up too much time, but you can do single team 7-round mock drafts, you know, 3-team seven round mock drafts, whatever it is. And you can save your big boards and your mocks. And those launch on February 25th. I think they're going to be, widely used programs, and they're very user-friendly and they look very good, and they're getting the finishing touches on the development are getting put on now, and it's going to be, I think, a really useful tool for draft fans, for draft nits, and for anyone who's a fan of the NFL draft and wants to get involved in it a little bit more. So those, like I said, those launch February 25th, and just keep your eyes out for them, and follow that Twitter account at Draft Network LLC.
Fantastic stuff, Brad, and everybody, please check out what Brad and the guys are doing over there at the Draft Network. I said guys and girls, like a page over there as well. They got the full squad over there. Check out what they're doing over the Draft Network. Fantastic stuff. They were down at Mobile. They'll be down at the Shrine Game. They'll be out at the Combine. They're covering this draft. Everything you'll need to get yourself ready for the upcoming NFL draft. That will do it for today's show. As you know, I will be off on Fridays throughout the month of February. Once we get past the combine back into March, we will go back to 5 days a week. So again, next time you hear from me is Mock Draft Monday, first mock draft of the season. Until then, have a great weekend and keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.